Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Well, it's an honor to be here today on a third day of January, first service. You know, we call it our prophetic service. And a long time ago, we used to do it on New Year's Eve. And we start about 8 o'clock at night, and we go to midnight. And that's back when this church was about half this big. And you know, we used to be a wall back here, a little small stage. We found out, you know, that a lot of people couldn't stay till midnight. But I tell you, we had some good times back then. We had a lot of prophetic words come forth. A lot of lives changed on New Year's Eve. I know some of y'all were back there then. And so we kind of shortened it from 8 o'clock to about 10 o'clock, and finally about 7 o'clock to about 9 o'clock. And then last 2 years since we've stepped down, it's been, we've done it on Sunday mornings, the first Sunday morning. But it's no different, but it's a little different service. So if you've never been to one of our prophetic services, let me just tell you how it's going to kind of go. You know, I'm going to give you what God has shown me for this coming year. It's not a prediction. I don't predict things. I listen to the voice of God. I'll have a little really short message. Promise it'll be short. And then Miss Luann's going to come up here, and we're going to, she's been praying for the body here. And I believe God's given her some words for the body. God's given me a word or two for the body. But I love a New Year's Eve service. I wish we'd go back and do it again. You know, several years ago, I was in Uganda. I was invited to preach at midnight, at the very midnight hour. And I was in the National Stadium there. That had between 75 and 100,000 people. And they got there at 6 o'clock at night. I got there about 10:30, 10:45. And I left as soon as I preached because I was tired. But they stayed till sun up. All night long, praise and worship. And so, you know, we have a hard time staying through an hour service or a 45-minute service here on New Year's Eve, but, you know, they know how to worship there. In fact, every Friday night, they have a all-night praise service in many churches. After they get off work, they'll stay the sun up. The last night we were there in Uganda, year before last, they had a praise service that went all night long. It's a common thing. We get a little antsy in church, so I promise to kind of be short today and won't be here all night, all right? I typically prepare for this message or service by fasting and praying, but I like to listen to a lot of prophets. And throughout the year, I do listen to a lot of prophets. This year, I just felt like God said, you know, don't listen to anybody. I mean, there's a lot of good words been going forth. I know they have. And I get, you know, everybody, not everybody, but I get every day probably 10 to 15 prophetic messages. Somebody sent me and said, Pastor, you need to listen to this guy. And everything tempt me, I want to listen to him. But I found out, you know, sometimes I tend to trail them. And I want to trail the Holy Spirit today. Amen. I want to know what God has to say. I want to just give a little start with a little background, and I'll kind of clarify some things later. But I think two things happened in the last few years that's going to kind of tie in today's message. In 2007, my wife and I were on our way to El Paso. I was crossing some cattle out of Mexico the next day, and we were on this long stretch between Portales and Roswell. She fell asleep. I'm driving. And all of a sudden, weirdest thing I'd ever experienced. I couldn't see the highway. And I'm running probably past the speed limit. That's not good. I couldn't see the highway. But all of a sudden, I saw myself standing on a beach. And I knew there wasn't a sign that said, you know, this is the East Coast, this is Florida, this is North Carolina, this is South Carolina, Virginia, wherever, I knew I was on the East Coast. In fact, I'd never been on the East Coast at that time in person. But I knew I was on the East Coast. I knew the sand wasn't the white sand. It was kind of a grayish tan sand. But it was a very, very gloomy day, really gloomy. Cloudy, dark. Oh, the water was so just raging waves and washing things up. And I'm standing there. There's nobody else around. And I'm running 80 miles down the highway, an hour. And all of a sudden, out of the sea, out of the ocean, came this sea monster. It looked like it had a long neck like Dino. Remember Dino? But it had the face of a man. And it just emerged out of the water, and I'm standing there looking at it. And I think, what in the world is this? And I just focused on the face. I thought, I will never forget that face. And I haven't forgot that face. And so immediately, I'm back looking the highway. And I called my pastor's wife, Pastor Sandy Trice, and shared with her about what it was, and, you know, open vision, and seeing what God showed me. And asked her to pray with me about, God reveal what it's all about. And I don't know yet if he's revealed entirely what it was, but here's why I know. I heard God say this: there's a spirit entering America. It's very interesting that this thing come out of the Atlantic Ocean instead of the Pacific Ocean, because it came from the east. From the east. And I knew it was a spirit. And months later, I saw that face again on TV. And it was the face of, I'm sorry to say this, but Barack Obama. First time I'd ever seen it. But I saw it months before. And so that was the vision there. But I believe that there was a spirit that came into America that day. And I'm not saying he's the Antichrist. Say that again. I'm not saying he's the Antichrist. But I say there's a spirit came in through him. And I believe it was, you know, some call it the agenda. Did you know there's an agenda here in our nation today to take America over, take the world over? There's an agenda. Some call it liberalism. Some call it progressiveness. Some call it socialism. And I want to tell you, behind it is the spirit of the Antichrist. He wants God out of America. And that's the spirit that came in 2007. On New Year's Eve, I went back and looked at some notes. New Year's Eve 2012, before entering into January 1st, 2013. I saw all my notes, the message there, but one thing very important I said that night prophetically, wasn't prediction, prophetically, I said, keep your eyes on the Vatican, because there's going to be a major change and shift there. I didn't know much about the Vatican. I think Pope John was Pope then, is that who it was? Anyways, the very first time in history, very first time, the Pope decided to step down. Every other Pope had died in office. He stepped down on February the 23rd after December 31st, 2012. He stepped down 2013, February 28th. 45 days later, and became a new pope, still in office. Well, I believe that that's important. Then 2018, beginning in 2019, the word that God gave me for that coming year was that in America, we'd already seen a little bit of it, but in America, we're going to see a lot of division. We're going to see a lot of violence coming. In fact, I saw by the Spirit, I saw it's like a war movie, but it's happening on our streets in America. It had never happened to that extent. But look what happened this year. Cities burnt down, buildings burnt down, rioting, violence. I saw these things. Okay, jump forward one more year, December 31st, 2019. And well, actually, it was on New Year's Day, or shortly after then. Wasn't a New Year's Eve service, but it was a prophetic service. Oh, God gave me a message, and I preached it many, many times through the year, different churches. But it came out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26 through 29. I won't read them, but what it mostly says, it says, once more, talking about God, once more I will shake the earth with my voice, and I will remove things that can be shaken, so that things that cannot be shaken shall remain. Now, remember December 31st, we were doing good. I mean, the economy was booming. Remember? Trump was in office. They was bringing businesses back to America. I mean, we were thriving. Stock market was going, everything was good. But in February, March that year, last year, you talk about a shaking going on. A little virus, as you can even see with the human eye, shook the entire earth. I mean, every nation was shook. Businesses, churches, governments, schools, everything was shaken. And I believe it was God's purpose. I believe God was shaking some things. Did you know that Jesus said that in the last days that he's going to, there's been tares or weeds sown among the wheat, and he said, I'm going to shake them out of there. Come on. There's a shaking going on. I'll be there shaking going on in churches like we've never seen before. Thank God for this church here that refused to quit. It stayed open. Amen? I can tell you churches now that I know personally are not meeting. And some have downsized. Tell you how many can come. Come on now. It's been a shaking going on. And also in 2020, the word God gave me was, there were hidden things that are going to be revealed. I mean, you talk about some things got uncovered. Doggies. I mean, as soon as Trump steps in, we found out how corrupt the FBI was. I mean, we always thought it was the greatest thing on the face of the earth. We found out they're corrupt. We found out our government is corrupt. We found out there's a swamp there. A lot of things got uncovered. You know, Epstein. He's still uncovering some stuff. And his girlfriend ain't talked yet. Wait till she talks. I mean, better be glad your name ain't on the list. But there's going to come some names come forth out of that list. There already has. Oh, Hunter Biden. Joe Biden, voting fraud. Come on, they're still uncovering things, hidden things. 2020, remember the word I said was it's like 2020 vision? We're going to see things we ain't never seen before. Besides uncovering, there's going to be more revelation. I believe there's more revelation going forth now than there's ever been in the history of the church. God has given vision. Amen? All right. Also, last year was the year 5780, I love to do a number study, but I didn't really do one this year. But 5780 is the Hebrew year where we were 2020. And 5780, symbolic, if you were here in church that morning, I said this, that it was a symbol. In fact, we had it on the screen. It was a symbol, looked like a mouth, but it had a sword in it. Remember that? And this was the year of the sword in the mouth. In other words, as believers, we walked into a season that we've never been before, that our words carried more authority. And I believe some of you used it and some of you didn't. And how you use your words either work for you or against you. But I really believe that God put Trump into office. I really do that. I really believe he's supposed to be in office. But I believe that, you know, maybe we missed it as a church. I thank God that this church is a praying church. But I mean, you come on a Saturday morning and you'll have a handful of people. Amen? And we call ourselves a praying church. I think our nation has prayed more than it's ever prayed as believers. But I think maybe it wasn't enough. I think we should have been using more spiritual authority. You know, the pulpit should be the moral compass of the world, not the government. Amen? We are to tell what's right and what's wrong, not them. We set the standards. And so this was the year of the sword, 2020. And I believe it's continuing on. But here's what I heard God say. As I began to prepare for this weeks ago, heard God say this. I want you to read Matthew 24 every day. Well, on my iPad, I have many, many translations, so I just, every day I'd read a different translation. And it's so good. But, I mean, if you remember, I won't just, for time's sake, you can read it later. But, you know, it starts off, they ask Jesus, what will be the signs of your coming? You know, he's already been, but he's going to come again. Amen? I believe he's going to come again, don't y'all? And so they want to know what the signs were. And so he said, you know, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. That's been happening since Jesus. And all through the ages, everybody said, well, you know, he's coming this year. He's coming this year, year 2000. You know, all these different years he's coming. You know, all these wars coming out. Kingdoms against kingdoms. All these things were going to have earthquakes in various places. I mean, we've had earthquakes since Jesus came out of the tomb. Amen. And these signs have already been fulfilled. And I heard God say, but we're in this verse right here, we're then. He says, after all these things, then. After the birth pains. We've been birthing this thing for a long time, people. 2,000 years we've been birthing Jesus coming back. And he says, and then. Well, what happens at then? I'm just kind of paraphrase for you for time's sake. It says that then expect to be persecuted. I don't like that. Expect it. Jesus, that's not my words. Jesus says, after all these signs, he said, then expect to be persecuted and to be hated and to even be killed because of your love for me. He says, many, will stop following me and they will fall away. I believe this is happening right now. I believe if you don't believe the church is not being persecuted, I read in the paper this week that Legacy Church and Calvary Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico got fined $5,000 each for having church. Is that not persecution? I know a pastor in Oklahoma not having church because he can't have church. Persecution. We've never had it before. We've always had the right to assemble. But there's persecution. You put scriptures on Facebook, they'll take them off. You say something against the government, they'll take it off. Come on. We're persecuted. We're being persecuted. Then it goes on to say, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Many. In the last, how many times did Jesus say, don't be deceived? How many times did Paul and Peter and others say, Timothy, don't be deceived? I believe if we're in the last days, there's deception. Now listen to me. Jesus says, take heed what you hear. There's a lot of garbage going on, a lot of conspiracy theories, a lot of ideas, but don't listen to everything. In fact, the only one you need to listen to is the truth. I mean, even the news, we were talking about going to Oklahoma City yesterday. When we 20 years ago, 30 years ago, if they wrote it in the newspaper, you could believe it. If it was on the news channel, you could believe it. But now you can't believe anything. There's a lot. You know, we think about false prophets. Well, that's preachers. No, it can be anybody. It can be a weatherman. It can be a newscaster. It can be the insurance salesman. Anybody. In the last days, there's going to be a lot of false prophets arise. Jesus said it. Don't be deceived. Be careful what you hear. That's why it's so important that you learn for yourself, not through me, Pastor Robert, Pastor Travis, Pastor Beth, anybody. You need to hear from God. You need to hear from God. You know where Timothy said, those that are led by the Spirit of God? Did you know the Spirit of God is here to lead you? In fact, in John chapter 16, it says this. He said that when the Spirit of truth could come, he is the Spirit of truth, ultimate truth. That's the Holy Spirit. said he will guide you into all truth. I mean, how do you get guided? You get directions. Verbally good directions. Amen? We use OnStar and Google Maps to get places out, but the Holy Spirit's to lead you. How can he lead you except through his voice? He goes on to say that, that those that are led by the Spirit of God shall be called sons of God. Did you know the word sons there is not generic gender? It means maturity. See, if you have to be mature in the Word of God to be led by the Spirit. In other words, if you're not mature, you're going to be led by every emotion, by every false prophet says, do this, go there, do that. You got to be led by the Spirit of God, and that comes through your maturity by being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So here I'm reading this Matthew 24 every day. It says that sin and lawlessness will abound. I mean, get real. I mean, can you believe what's going on today around the world, in our cities, in our nation here? I mean, the stupidest thing is, I just heard that Chicago is the murder capital of the world. It is. More homicides than anywhere. And so they got this stupid gay mayor. Yeah, she's gay. She's got a husband. Queer, whatever you want to call it. Let's defund the police. We don't need so many police. They are a problem. Well, they started defunding police. A lot of them just quit their cells. Did you know since they started doing that, homicide rate has risen 56%? It's happening all around America. To this year here. Remember, 5780 was the mouth with authority of the believer in it. 5781, the Hebrew deal changes to the one, and the one is God. There's one God. So we got the mouth of God this year. That's important. It's not only our voice, now it's God's voice. And so expect God to speak loudly and clearly in these coming days. I believe we'll hear the audible voice like we've never heard God speak. I wouldn't be surprised that this election, that God's going to speak. It's going to be so loud and so shaking. It's going to change some results. I'm not declaring that. I'm just saying this is, God says, once again on this earth, I will speak. When he shook the last time, he's talking about the mountain shook. I'm going to tell you what. He's going to, you know, they say there's seven mountains. I'm not talking about physical mountains. There's seven mountains in the world that's against the body of Christ. Government. Education, entertainment. He's shaking some. Look at what NFL. It may not exist next year. NBA may not exist. He's shaking some things in his voice now. Come on. And it's going to be powerful. As I was meditating one day, I saw myself. I know how I knew I was in a tunnel. I couldn't see the tunnel. It was so dark. I've never been anything as dark as I was in. Dark, dark, darkness. I couldn't see the top, sides, where my feet were. I couldn't see anything. It was total dark. And I believe that 2021, we're going to start out in darkness. We're going to start out in darkness. But as I began to look and search, I saw a tiny, it wasn't big as a gnat. In this place I was, but I saw in a distance, I saw a tiny speck of light. And so I began to move towards that light. As I began to move, that light got bigger and brighter and bigger and brighter until I'm standing at the edge of this tunnel, and all of a sudden, it's like a blinding light. like a blinding light. I believe we'll start off in darkness, but I believe there's light coming. Let me confirm. You know, God's God of threes. Three is an important figure. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I'm going on about three. Preach all day long on three. In the beginning, the world was covered with darkness. The world was covered with darkness. And God said, let there be light. And we think in our little minds, well, God put the sun, the star. No, he did that later. See, he is the light of this world. Before that, this earth was consumed and habitated by Satan and all the fallen angels. That's where God cast him out of heaven, on this earth right here. And so anywhere there's darkness, there's absence of light. It's this world was darkness. And God says, let there be light. And once again, his presence came on this earth. The second time, remember the day that Jesus died on the cross? They put the sin of the world on Jesus, and it said the earth turned black, dark, at daytime. Complete darkness. Complete darkness. They couldn't see each other. Couldn't see Jesus on the cross. It was so dark. But then 3 days, come on, 3 days later, they said a glorious light come out of the tomb. Come on. It may look dark, honey, but it's going to get light before the year is over. Come on. It's going to get light. The ever-ready bunny hadn't run out of energy. He's coming back. Amen? There is still that sword in our mouth, even though it's 2021. I just had this thought. Did you know the word 21? You know, I don't want to go into the biblical meaning of it, but there were 21 times the children of Israel rebelled. Study, yeah, rebelled in the wilderness 21 times. Did you know? Let me just read to you. Second Timothy 3. Second Timothy 3 says, know that this in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, disobedient, unthankful, unholy, unloving, all these kind of things. Did you know there's 21 sins there? Darkness, but light's coming. You know, I think that through it all, that because of this 2020, I think there's some righteous voices that swords in our mouth. It's in some of your mouths. And I believe you begin to declare some things. I believe the voice of righteousness will cry out for justice from heaven. And I believe God will answer those cries for justice. He's done it in the past. You know, I think the devil thinks he's got God against the ropes. But he's coming out swinging, amen, in 2021. Okay, back to remember the sea monster I saw in the word I had about the Vatican. Heard God say this very clearly. He says, keep your eyes on China. On China. Why? Because they want to bring economic destruction to the world. They want to control the economy. Second thing he says, keep your eyes on Iran. Why? Because they want to destroy the world physically. They build nuclear weapons right now. It could happen anytime. Third thing is, he said, keep your eyes on the Vatican again. I'm not anti-Catholic. I don't want to offend a Catholic. But I want to tell you what, this Pope right now, he's a pawn in the devil's hand. He came in as a good guy. You know, he's a poor people's, he loved the poor, would take care of all the poor. He's a socialist. Did you know in God's kingdom there's no socialism? You don't get nothing for nothing. You don't get things for nothing. You got to work. You got to work. I can teach on the parable of the talents and prove you God's not a socialist right there. But anyways, he came in as a socialist. But you know he's endorses abortion now. In fact, he said just here a month or so ago, he said, oh, you know, if you don't like who you are gender-wise, you have the right to change. He said, we as a church, we ought not tell who can marry who. If a man wants to marry a man, that's between them. If a woman wants to marry a woman, that's between them. That's from the Pope. So why is he in the top three? China, destroy economically. Iran, physically. The Vatican, morally. God says, keep your eyes on those three. Eyes mean that you're a watchman over the tower. You guard things. I believe, here's what I heard God say, there's going to be a major shakeup in the world system because of this COVID deal and because of corruption. There could be other viruses more powerful than COVID come out. I'm not saying that, but I wouldn't be surprised. But all these shakeups going on right now is an opportunity for the Antichrist to step in as a fixer of the world's problem. Read Matthew 24, I think it's verse 14, which is talking about the Antichrist coming in and declaring himself as God in the temple. He'll come in as a fixer-upper. He comes as a peacemaker. He will set up a one-world government with one world currency, one world religion. And this Antichrist rules. I don't know if it's Obama, I don't know if it's the Pope, I don't know who it is. But I believe with all my heart that he's real today on this earth. He's somewhere on this earth right now. His spirit came in 2007. It's always been here, but it began to emerge in 2007 out of the depths. Here's what I heard God say also. That expect a major event or events. I heard event, but then I thought, well, events also. In mid-year. You know, when Jesus talked about all the signs of coming, he talks about, he goes to a parable. I think it's very interesting because I never saw this before. I mean, God says, expect a major event mid-year. Well, Matthew 24:32, after he teaches all these things, he says, now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that the summer is near. So you also know when things is near at all the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass. Let me just keep on reading. It talks about the days of Noah. It says, or verse 36, but that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but the Lord, Father only. But it talks about days of Noah eating, drinking, one be taken from the meal, one be taken from the field. He goes on to say that, therefore you also be ready. It's in context of the parable of the fig leaf. For the Son of Man is coming an hour you don't expect. Well, I heard God say mid-year. And I thought, that's June. And I got thinking, well, you know, the Hebrew calendar is what we call God's calendar. So if mid-year is God's mid-year, when is that? Well, see, Hebrew year starts September what, Pastor Robert? 19th or September. And so October, November, December, January, February, when does spring come? March, when the fig tree begins to put out fig leaves. Wow, that gives me cold chills. Amen? Well, that's what God has shown me. I still got a little bit of time to preach, all right? Can I preach a little bit longer? You know, this is a really shortened verse. I preached this at Pastor Tim's church the other day, their dedication service, and his entire message, but I believe it's a message for 2021. And I want to call it the survival, how to survive 2021. You know, I love movies. Sadly is, there's not a lot of good movies anymore. But, I mean, there's some that, you know, I watched Tombstone, I don't know how many times. I know there's violence in there, but I love it. I mean, there's lions come out of there. I'm your Huckleberry. I don't know what in the world a Huckleberry is, but I like that line. It's just, go ahead and make my day. I mean, there's some lines that's just phenomenal. Amen? Some scenes, I mean, True Grit, where John Wayne's got a 30-30 and a 45 and range his mouth going across the mesa there and shooting. Love those kind of movies. But, I love the movie Braveheart. In fact, I did a little scene at our men's conference this year. Lines that they said there, but The Gladiator. I love The Gladiator. That's my kind of movie. Let me kind of set the scene. Remember that Russell Crowe played the lead part there, and he was named Maximus Meridius, I believe. He was a Roman general. I mean, he was a leader. I mean, he was a powerful, powerful man. He was a fighter. He was a general, and he was captured. You know, he kind of rebelled against the government there, and the king or the ruler, whatever his name was, Omnius, he killed his wife, killed his kids, and he's trying to kill Russell Crowe, and Russell Crowe escapes, and he gets captured by this African slave trader that has a school of gladiators. So he goes to this school there, and they train him how to be a gladiator. They fight all the time, and this guy is kind of like a WWE. He goes around with all these gladiators, you know, and they have these big matches, and so he goes into Rome, and this guy that Commodus was his name, that executed his wife and kids and tried to kill him. He's there. He's the king, and he's the ruler, the emperor of Rome there, and he's sitting there in the skybox, you know, like at the Cowboy Stadium there, and got all the drinks and the food, and this stadium is filled with thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And so they want to see some blood, just like WWE. They want to see some blood. And so here Maximus and 12 or 13 other gladiators, they come into this huge arena with the crowds, and they're shouting and booing and throwing things at him probably. And, you know, Maximus, the Spaniard, he looks around, and he sees all the people, and he spies Commodus up there in the crowd. And he looks around the wall there, and this wall has got gates everywhere. And he says this very powerful line. He says, "We don't know what's coming out of these gates. We don't know what's coming out of these gates." But he says, whatever comes out of these gates, we've got a better chance of survival if we work together. He says, do you understand me? If we stay together, we survive. If we stay together. You know, January 2020, we had no idea what was going to happen. I mean, if we'd known what was going to happen, we'd been more prepared prayer-wise, I believe. We had no idea. I mean, it happened so fast. We were in Orlando on our sabbatical down there, and I mean, the next day you couldn't find toilet paper. I mean, before that, there's aisles of toilet paper. And so, I mean, the first day we went to Walmart or to the Publix, all the shelves were cleared out. Hand sanitizer, you can find hand sanitizer. Couldn't buy a mask. I mean, it just happened overnight. We weren't prepared. And so, you know, we didn't know what was coming through the gates. But let me tell you this. Gates are essential for survival. You know, they not only allow essential things in. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, very familiar scripture says, God said, I will open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing. See, blessings come through a gate. They're opportunity. But also gates are to keep the enemy out. A city, no matter how strong the walls are, is no stronger than the gates, because the gates are the weakest link. When Nehemiah rebuilt Jerusalem, the first thing he did was he said, I got to rebuild the gates. You know, gates in the Bible are symbolic of authority. In fact, I taught a series several years ago about the gates. In Matthew 16, verse 18, very familiar scripture, Jesus is with his disciples. He's asking Peter, who do they say that I am? And some say that you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're a great teacher. Some say you're this. And Jesus says, yeah, but, you know, Peter, who do you say that I am? And he says, you are the Christ. You are the Christ. See, that was the first time that word, actually in the Hebrew or Greek, it's the word Messiah, where we get Christ. But it's the first time it's been used. You know, they saw Jesus as a great teacher. He had declared he was the Son of God. But he says, you are the Christ. You know, the word Christ, it wasn't his last name that we identify with. It was who he was. It means the anointed one. He is the anointed one. What's the anointed one? He destroys every yoke there is, every bondage there is, every addiction there is, every disease there is, every sin there is. He's a yoke breaker. He breaks addictions. He breaks sickness. He breaks COVID. He breaks cancer. He says, you are the Christ. And the word Christ carries authority. And Jesus said to Peter, he said, "This, you are the rock, and on this foundation right here, this foundation, what? A principle right here that he is the Christ. Come on. He is the Christ. You are a Christian by name. You're Christ-like, or should be Christ-like. He said, and the gates of hell, come on. And the gate, come on, church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Against my church. Amen? Personally, you don't know what's coming through the doors in your life. Tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. But whatever it is, I promise you, if you use the authority and the anointing that God gave you, I'm talking to you personally now, it will not prosper, because the Word of God says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So Maximus says, we don't want to come through these gates. Then all of a sudden, these gates just flung open all around this big Colosseum, huge Colosseum. And all of a sudden, if you remember the movie there, these chariots came out. Ordained chariots. I mean, they had gold and jewels and drivers on there. And the drivers had all this armor, and these big white and black horses, big stallions charging through there. I mean, they're roaring. Their nostrils flared out. And in the back of the chariots is an archer. And they're shooting their arrows and all through there. And these chariots even had spikes on their wheels. If you got close to the chariot, they'd, like a giant sword, just cut you in half. And so here's Maximus. He says, we don't know what's coming through these gates, but if we stay together, we'll survive. But you know what happens sometimes? We get lone wolves. Come on. And you remember the scene there? There's two or three of these guys say, well, bring him on. I'll take him out. They had their swords drawn, and immediately they got killed. Here's what Maximus said. The next thing he says, closer, closer as one. Folks, there's power in unity. There's power in unity. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, very familiar scripture says that a house divided against itself will not stand. Let me tell you what it says in the Passion. Any kingdom that fights against itself will end up in ruins. Watch this. And any family, we're a family right here, or community, we're a community, splintered by strife will fall apart. Do you know it only takes one person? Come on. I've seen it happen in this church. It takes one person to bring division to a house. I'm going to tell you very honestly, your pastor, Travis and Brandy, are the senior pastors now. God is going to give them the vision for this house. You may not like it. You may not like what Pastor Beth sings on Sunday mornings. You may not like her style. You may not like what Pastor Robert teaches. But God gives them the vision. Your job, come on, your job is not to bring division. Your job is to bring unity. I'm going to get real blunt. If you're not behind this church 110%, then get the hell out of here. Amen? Yeah. You can tell somebody that too. We don't need you. We don't need you. We don't want you. Pastor Travis don't need you. He don't want you. He may want you, but he don't need you. He's got enough stuff to do. Then fight people in church. Amen? John 17, verse 11 and 20 through 23. Let's paraphrase it. Jesus praying for you and I. He says, how many believe that Jesus was tight with God? I mean, he's one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all one. But he saw them not only separated, but he saw himself as one. He says, Father, I pray that they be one as you and I are one. What's he trying to say, Texan-wise? He says, God, I just pray that my people be as tight as you and I are. Just like Father, Son. They be just that tight. They be as one as you're one. He goes on saying those next few verses, you know, that when they're one, they're perfect. I mean, why is there so much ununity in churches? How can we fight an enemy if we can't stay together? We got an enemy coming through the gates, folks. We got to stay together. Amen. If they had a prayer on Saturday morning, you need to be here. If they had a men's conference, you need to be here. If they had a women's conference, you need to be here. We need some unity. Well, I don't really like to go to men's stuff. I don't like to go to women's stuff. I just like on Sunday morning. I don't like to go to Bible school. You know, that's kind of stupid. Come on. Well, get the hell out. Yeah. I won't be back here next week. I'll be in Florida. Pastor Travis. Pastor Travis have to answer for me. I can just see the text. What in the world did you say? You know, there truly is. There's a power of oneness. Jesus said, I can't do anything unless I see my Father do it. I can't say anything. I don't say anything unless I hear my Father. That's oneness. He wants you and I mean, we're so different. So very different, each of you. But he wants us to be one flesh. Just like man and wife, be one flesh. Deuteronomy 32 says, if one can put 1,000 flat with God, if with God, one can put 1,000. Did you know just you and God can put 1,000 flat? But two of you in unity can put 10,000 flat with God. Amen? In fact, more than that. You know, the power of unity with him, nothing can stand against you. And as the movie went on there, he said, closer, closer, be as one. See, they were individuals. But if you saw the movie, they had these big shields that was as tall as they were, rectangular. It's leather covered with metal. He says, let's come closer to closer to closer. Luann's got this apparatus in her kitchen stuff. I don't know what you call it, but it's got these stainless steel fingers that come together and it makes like a bow. So he said, closer, closer as one. We got hundreds of chariots and archers, arrows flying. He said, let's come together as one. And then he says, lock your shields. Lock your shields. And all of a sudden you saw, you didn't see one shield separate. You saw one shield, a circle. You saw this one shield. And the arrows started hitting them one shields there. And what I'm saying to you today is God's given you a shield, and it's called faith. It's called faith. Hebrews 11 says, by faith, they subdued kingdoms. By faith, they obtained the promises of God. By faith, they were made strong. And by faith, they turned flat to their enemies. 1 John 5:4 says, now this is the faith that this what overcomes the world, even our faith. I think last time I preached here, I preached a message called Your Faith. You know, it's good to depend upon Pastor Luann's faith. She's a faithful woman. But you know, God doesn't look at her faith for you. He looks at your faith for you. He looks at your faith. How you go through COVID is your faith. How you fight the enemy is your faith. Amen? I got to hurry. Habakkuk 2:4 says, the just shall live by their faith. Jesus repeats it in Matthew. The just, that's you and I. If you're born again, he said, you shall live. The word shall live means to enjoy life. It means to recover health. It means to stay alive. It means to prosper. How? By your faith. See, you got to have your shield of faith up. Amen? And then we saw with the shields up how the chariots started coming in there, and they had these swords on the wheels, remember? And they was going to try to take them shields out. And as they hit them shields, it overturned them chariots. And Maximus jumped up off behind his shield, got on the back of the horses, and began to kill the enemy. The crowd went wild. I mean, there was a shift. Come on. This is perfect. There's a shift. There's a shift in the environment. And all of a sudden, they weren't the enemies. They were the heroes. They began to cheer them, and they won their freedom that day. Amen? Three keys here for your survival. First is, the Bible says, Jesus said, I've given you all authority on earth. That's just not, you got authority. You may not use authority, but God has given you all authority. Over every power, principality, demon, sickness, disease, situation, whatever. God has given you authority in the name of Jesus. You've got authority. Most of you don't use it. Second thing, if you're going to survive, you're going to have to stay together. Stay together. Lone wolves get killed. That sheep that strays off gets killed. People who leave churches don't survive long. You got to stay together because you don't know what's going to come through these doors, this house or your house. Third thing is survive. You may not like faith. You may not believe you have any faith, but I won't tell you what, honey. You better get in faith in 2021 if you're going to survive. Or not, your last name is going to be a statistic. Amen? Amen? All right, Luann, you ready on? All right, praise God. All right, I want to share quickly what God gave me. There's a lady here. I'll be faith responds. God's given me a few things. He gave Luann some things. The first one is, I saw yesterday, I saw this woman. Maybe more than one woman here. But I saw you. I saw you. And it was a pathetic you. Because you were like someone that has palsy or something. You were just all crippled up. That's the way I saw you. Just contorted, twisted. And then all of a sudden I saw chains. This big heavy chain all around you there. And I was wondering what God was showing me about you. And he says, as a little girl, you saw yourself not as pretty as everybody else. You saw others having more than you had. And for all these years, you carry this bitterness and self-pity and jealousy. I heard God say, yes, they've been kind and compassionate to others. They despise people having more than they have. They despise people that do better than they do. God wants to hear you this morning. He wants to break those chains off of you. He wants to just fall off. But it's going to take one thing. I'm not going to call you forward to embarrass you. I know who you are. God showed me very, very clearly who you are. And I think there's actually more than one, but God showed me one lady here. There's got to be a deep repentance on your part. Because when you said, I'm just not as popular as they are. I'm not as pretty as she is. I don't have as much as they have. They have all this. I don't have nothing. God's saying that he was never enough in your life. And God has more for you, he says. But he can't give it to you as long as you're wrapped in these chains. And that repentance and change your heart. God's going to break those chains off. Because he wants you to feel good about yourself. He wants you to have those things that you desire. Okay, Miss Lynn.
I believe it, Pastor. I believe it. This word is for arena of life. This is for every one of you and for your pastors who are, your senior pastors who are not here this morning. God is calling this house into a spirit of cooperation. This goes right along with what the word that Pastor brought to this morning, being in unity and oneness. The word is cooperation. Cooperation. To cooperate means to labor, to work, or to act in unity to accomplish a common goal. So there's three things that God wants us to do as a body. First of all, he wants us to cooperate with him because he has a plan for this house. And if we don't cooperate with him, if we kick against the goad, if we work toward our own things, then the things that God has planned will never be accomplished. We have to work with God. We have to cooperate with his direction, with his vision, with his purpose for this house. And then the next thing, we have to cooperate with our senior pastors.
Right.
Pastor Travis and Pastor Brandy and our staff pastors, they need cooperation.
Right.
They need you to be girding them up on each side. And we all working toward the same thing, and we work in unity together to increase the kingdom, to impact Amarillo, Texas, to impact Randall and Potter County, to impact Texas, to impact the states, the United States of America.
Yeah.
We've got to work together in cooperation. And sometimes that means that the flesh has to be subdued way down, way down. But we can work together. And then we must cooperate with each other. We all have to work together with each other. Gird each other up. Love each other. Encourage each other. When you see someone that's kind of downcast, lift them up. Work with that spirit of cooperation together. As a body, what we can accomplish when we work together is absolutely phenomenal. And this is the year God's saying, spirit of cooperation, come on Arena of Life Church in Amarillo, Texas.
Amen, amen. All right, let's bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.